He brings the groove and divine deeds. Tales of dreams and rainbow skies. The joy he spreads is no disguise. Sheen Anthony takes the mic each rising. Gonna light up your soul now, you're shining. Sound healing and stories flow on the Sheen Anthony Show. Tune in, don't miss this divine time. Every word shifts the paradigm. From rising haze to evening glow, it's the Sheen Anthony Show.
Peace, peace. You are now tuned in to 101.1 Frequency Radio. I am your host, Sheen Anthony. How are y'all feeling today? Have you had a time to just allow yourself to just be and breathe? No, you haven't? We'll do it now. So deep inhale. Exhale. How does it feel to be affirmed in you creating your own reality? How does it feel to be you? How does it feel knowing that love will be guided to you because what is meant to be for you will always be attracted for you? How does it feel to know that you are in your highest power? How does it feel to know that you have the ability to do whatever it is that you intend to do? That whatever it is that you set your mind to, you can achieve, you can build, you can create, you can explore. I genuinely feel like this should feel like healing. This should feel like creativity. This should feel like inspiration, knowing that you are consistently pursuing what you feel called to do with all of those things at the forefront of your mind and of your heart. So with that being said, today's episode is going to be about living a multidimensional creative life. Integrating creativity into your everyday life can definitely be, you know, habits that you are creating for yourself so that way you could be able to embody that creation. And knowing that creativity is not limited to the realm of artists and musicians. It's a fundamental aspect of being human. Each one of us possess the innate ability to tap into our creative essence. And you can express it in various forms. Let's integrate our creativity into our everyday life and allow it to express in the way that is aligned for your unique path. So with that being said, I have a divine being that I wanted to bring on today. We have been creating experiences for a while. Not only are they just a magnificent MC, but also they're very integral with not only the words that they speak, but the spaces that they create and how they collaborate with others like branches of a tree. I would love to invite you guys to Josh Williams. Is that what we going with?
I think we
are. We going with Josh Eyes Williams?
We could go with Joshua Eyes Williams. I feel like in the near is future in the sense of acting, like that tends to be what you do. It's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
You know what I mean?
It's like you put in the moniker that you are known for, and then like eventually they try to break out of them names, but then it's like The Rock's still The Rock.
True. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you still going to be Oz, but I'm like, I got to put some respect on Josh.
But it's also a fun thing because it's like, I think when you're performing, you're on stage, you are whatever your rap name is. But then when you're in real life, like, you know, it's funny. When we meet most of the musicians, I think we call all of them by their first name for the most part. Unless their artist name is like a nickname that's like very ubiquitous. To like their life, I guess. But yeah, how are you, Sheen?
I'm feeling amazing. I'm trying to figure out where did Oz come from. If you originally was Joshua, where did the Oz develop?
So the biggest thing that kind of came up with Oz was it was a self-made name for sure. Where originally I think my rap name I wanted to be like Isolation or like ISO, and ISO is still technically like on my like music pages, it's still there, but I think it's like the it's evolved because one, when I was first rapping, I was very insular by myself, and to now be like working with a like live hip hop band that has like 13 people in it. You can't really be like ISO, like by yourself. Like that don't make no, that doesn't match.
Not with all that collaboration.
So then, like, I kind of recontextualize it, and like ISO is spelled EYESO, so it's like eyes and then just O. So I think I look at it as like eye, like you know, like your eye, and then like your eye stays open, like you just need to like stay perceptive. And I think that's how I kind of perceive it now, and it's short for eyes, and it's also cool because then when I like introduce myself, I like point at eyes as I say it, because a lot of people hear me saying Oz, and I'm not, so I'm like, I'm eyes, and I'm like, right here, I'm eyes.
Just point at don't look behind the curtain,
yeah,
because I'm right here.
And so that's kind of been what it is, and it's funny now, because it's like, people come to our events, and like, the people that we work with closely, yo, where's Josh? The people that like, only know me in performance mode, they're like, yo, who the hell is, who is Josh? And then it's like, oh, that's Eyes, okay, that he has two names now, and then that's kind of how it goes.
That makes a lot of sense, because I told you, I'm like, I want to put some respect on your name, but I'm trying to figure out which one should we stick with, you know? Yeah. But I like, I just respect you so much. It's just like a creator, like a collaborator, like a unifier, you know? Like, that's kind of what brought me to like my first question, essentially, which was, what sparks collaboration with fellow artists?
Okay, I would, so what I would say the initial spark is, and it sometimes it's the nature of, like, what is making you collaborate, because obviously if you have, like, tasks you have to do, and you're just like, hey, here's the team you're in, very different to when you, like, naturally have collaboration, and it's like you're integrating someone's workflow with yourself. It's there has to be kindred spirits. That's, like, key. Like, I think, even if people have, like, contrast, if those contrasts, like, click together in a really unique way, then it's still a kindred spirit, even though you guys are different. And, you know, I think the kindred spirit of, like, people who have desires to create something, and then they have their different philosophies and ideas on how to create, but they have this bond of, like, we both know we want to make this thing a reality. That's step one. So, like, I kind of oftentimes talk about, like, in regards to music, and also in regards to like even like collaborative ventures to like build like structural things like institutions or building like educational development like programs, it's a real key thing about it is like if you don't like the people you're working with, you're probably not gonna make something good, more than likely. Or if there isn't, even if it's not a like thing, if there isn't a mutual respect or something to where you guys are eye to eye on in some capacity, it's like peanut butter and
sauerkraut.
I was gonna say salmon.
You was
another some, S. Someone with an S, yeah, for
some
sure.
Fishy. Some fishy. Yeah.
But it's just like it doesn't work. But if it's like yo, like chocolate and peanut butter, they're different, but they got their thing going.
That's true. That's true. It's like you got to get the right essence.
Okay.
So is that how you like sparked up the kind of like the initiation of like seeing the tree blossom and like stations yourself on each branch?
Well, yeah, because Verge Station, like, you know, the live hip hop band that we are, like initially started as a concept where I found that I had a like for just live music in general. Like, I was listening to a lot of live albums. I was building my vinyl collection. And, like, while I was a hip-hop artist, you know, just working on beats, you know, and at that time I was, like, doing YouTube beats, calling producers, things of that nature. But, like, I'm like, I really like live music. Let me see what friends I have can make live music, and maybe I'll try to make a live album. And then, so, like, the funny part is, like, it started with me trying to make my own live album, and then I was like, okay, after I make it, like, okay, I made a live album, that's cool. But then it was like I fell in love with the process. I fell in love with the camaraderie because, like, mind you, you know, Branch Station started off in like a shed, and like just a shed in Pennsylvania, and I would be in that shed from like maybe let's say like 7 p.m. to like 4 a.m. by myself, and like it's like an isolation chamber almost, and like that's cool. You can do that, but like, when I was bringing people in and, like, setting my shed up to, like, record drums and record horns and all that stuff, I was like, yo, this is, like, way more fun, and also the freedom that comes from, like, I have an initial music idea, and I wasn't a musician at the time. Mm. I have these initial music ideas that I can't fully develop yet, but also when I show people my idea and they have their way of interpreting it, it becomes something way bigger than what I thought of, you know, by myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the biggest thing with Branch, is, like, just seeing the... Sorry. My bad.
Oh, so you got the mods.
Yeah, but that was the biggest thing with Branch, is, like, seeing how an idea can really flourish and grow to something so much greater than whatever you thought it was in its original key. Like my original idea, I remember when I was first writing this song called Can't Find a Way with Raekwon Washington. Mm. And, like, mind you, I was like, this is my, like, first attempts at, like, playing keys and stuff too. And I was like, yo, Ray, I play keys. And, like, I was super hyped because, like, I couldn't.
Yeah, because he'd be playing.
Uh-huh. And I, like, I couldn't play anything at the time. And mm-hmm. I still probably can't in comparison to Ray. But it's like, I was like, yo, here's what I have. And then he was like, oh, well, you know, like, take it, shift it to this key. And then, like, that song became a whole different beast just from his interpretation of my initial idea. Mm. And then you have things like Devin Reed coming up with a song, like, for, he has a song called, like, A Minority, which is, like, he has this vision of what he wants this song to be, but he doesn't have the lyrics, mm-hmm. but he has the key of the song. And then it's like, okay, it becomes my responsibility to take his idea and capture it, interpret it the way I interpret it, to where it's like we meet in the middle of, like, what his initial concept of vision is, how I perceive it, and then creating a song like A Minority. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the flourishing that you want to see. And that's what, like, collaboration brings. That's, I think, is so much greater than just a simple, like, you know, you collaborate a producer and it's there. But it's like when you're collaborating with multiple people, it's like everyone's engaged in this really cool conversation that starts at A, but then ends like at like -2.5. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I thought we were going to go to Z. And it's like, nah, we went to like a way different spot. And it's totally, mm-hmm. it's a better and more unique thing than what I would have came up with if I just did this solo. Mm.
And I know where. I love that. Like, I genuinely love that. Because I think how each project continues to flourish on its, like, own individual aspect. Mm-hmm. Like, it's essentially, collaboration just means being mutually beneficial for all parties involved. And the fact that you make sure that you're intentful with not only who you're collaborating with, but how we're all being a part of this. Like, yo, like, it happened so quickly, but I just started thinking about the manifestation of the album. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, bro, with everything going on, like, how do you keep your peace?
Oh, you see what happened there? I'll be so honest. Like my peace kind of comes from prayer and belief in the future in like a really real way. So like when I'm working on things that are challenging, like I am present in doing the thing. Mm. Like, definitely am present in doing the thing. But I also, like, am present in the future moment of what I think this thing will become. So, like, when I'm working on stuff for Branch or when I'm working on stuff for individual members with Branch, it's not necessarily that I'm thinking, hey, I'm doing this for this person in the moment. But it's like, yo, I'm doing this because I have a true belief that, like, Demonio Corey can become the James Jamerson of bass for like the kids in like 2045. Mm-hmm. I have a pure and genuine belief that Devin Reed can become the Quincy Jones of the kids in 2045. Mm-hmm. And like I view everybody in that manner. So it's just a thing where it's like, and even when I'm like thinking like, I know that this is something I'm going to build that will not only enrich my life, but like, this is something I think will put other people's and like other members of this like group, mm-hmm. like their kids in college, if we do this right, if we stay diligent with it. Mm-hmm. So there's like, yeah, you're in that hecticness of like the way the world's turning and spinning. And like, there's so much work to be done in like a collaborative process. And even in the sense of the era we live in musically, it's better to be like a one man band because it's like all the money is just going to one guy. Mm-hmm. When you have a band, you got to split it 9 ways. So you got to work 9 times as hard to make sure everyone's just as successful as an individual artist, right? Mm. So, like, that's there. There's that workload. You're looking at a hill. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm going to get to that mountaintop, and then, like, everyone else is also coming along and going to accomplish the things that they all want to accomplish. So, like, there's no reason to be like, oh, this is a lot of work. It's too much. Mm-hmm. It's a thing of being like, okay, we're going to keep pushing. And also, it's like, we're a team. So it's like, it's never just on me. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, if you were to interview other people in branch, they'd be like, yeah, I'm doing this because I believe in the group and I care about the people that are in it. So I want to be successful so that they can also be successful. And that's what, like, leads to, like, a group movement rather than just an individualistic, like, everyone's trying to do things for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to be the Yonsei.
Like,
everybody has their own Yonsei energy, but we all are collectively.
Yeah.
We're the one. Like, to be the one, you have to be your own unit. You know, like, that's what creates the one.
Yeah.
At least that's what that's how I see it within all, like, teams and projects. It's like, you come together as one being, and I just love how, like, bro, Branch is a whole family. Like, this is not just, like, on the outside looking in, it's going to be like, oh, it's just a band.
Yeah.
This is not just a band. Like, it's as far from just a band. This is, like, family development, you know?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, and just to close, like, I think a big thing that also I really want to push, at least in the sense of our Branch Station's goals with, like, music community is, like, you know, we view Beyonce, we view Jay-Z's, we view Nas's as, like, individuals. But the thing is, those people are amalgamations of multiple people all working to create the brand that you associate with this individual. And, like, I think with Branch, the hope is, like, you know, we could easily have a band that's like, yo, this is Oz and the Branches or something like that, that, like, centralizes it on one individual. But, like, really emphasizing the group shows how much work it takes to make something great. And also demystifies, like, I think a lot of people are like, yo, I gotta be great on my own. It's like, no one in the history of the world, I think, has ever been great on their own. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's the key thing that we really try to push with, like, Branch Station and connecting to other people and, like, hoping to influence other people to, like, notice. Is like, when you move as a group, you're doing 10 times what you would have did by yourself.
I can't close with that, bro. I can't close with that. Because I had this gentleman wrote down specifically to ask you.
Gotcha.
As Oz, how does self-awareness refine your artistic vision?
Ooh.
I wrote this gentleman down intentionally. Okay. I was not playing. I'm like, I'm going to ask this man.
So it's a little, there's some levels of, like, slight masochism in there a bit. It's not, I don't think it's super negative.
And, like, what is that?
Oh, masochism is kind of like, you ain't gonna love the wordage, but it's like you're kind of slightly hurting yourself a little bit or putting yourself down in a way.
Okay.
But like, I kind of view it as like muscle fibers. If you want to build muscles, you have to tear them for them to rebuild and be stronger.
Okay, right.
So, like, the self-reflection portion, the biggest thing for me is that on my end, at least as Branch Station, like, people view me as the leader of Branch Station, and I do, like, acknowledge the fact that, like, there's leadership roles that I take within Branch Station. Right? I'm never going to be like, I am the leader exclusively.
Right.
With that being, like, the perception sometimes, the thing that I kind of love and also, like it sticks with me a lot is that I'm the leader of a hip-hop live band, but I'm probably, like, not the greatest musician in that group. And so a really beautiful thing that I think happened is, like, with Branch Station, everyone has their disciplines. And, like, me, I came into live music really late. Like, I was, like, 18 years old when I started learning how to play an instrument. And, you know, everyone else, Branch Station, oh, I was in church. Oh, I went to this. I went to that. And, like, I kind of started at, like, 7. I was playing instruments at 4. So there's always this, like, I'm always chasing my bandmates skill-wise, musically. And I think that's a really cool thing because no matter what, I'm never going to catch them. Just from the standpoint of, if I get good at keys now, Keon will still have been playing keys for however, like, 10 years on top of me playing for 10 years, but he's been playing for longer. So, like, I'm always going to have this benchmark of keep trying to catch up to them. And so my self-awareness that, like, leads to really cool creativity is, like, just acknowledging how great the musicians are that I work with, how great the singers are that I work with, and the skill sets that they have that I don't have. But because we're in like this camaraderie group, it's not a thing of like measuring yourself to someone and then like putting yourself down. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, yo, I'm in the presence of like really great people, and we're all learning from each other mm-hmm. and getting better. And so it's like I can acknowledge, yo, Jadale, Joy Ross sings 1,000 times better than me, but I'm recognizing the vocal techniques that she's doing and how she's writing her melodies, and like I'm learning from that and acknowledging the deficiencies that I have mm-hmm. and then knowing that I have people in my group that I can talk with about like, oh, what's some different techniques, like what's your philosophies mm-hmm. and then grow from that. So it's a thing of like, know that you have flaws, and like it's very important to know that you have flaws. Like even me as a music teacher, like I would tell my high school level students, I wouldn't tell my middle school students this, but I tell my high school level students, I'm like, yo, you're going to be trash for 2 years, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like when you first start making stuff, you're going to be bad, but you have this barometer of like, you listen to music and you know what you're listening to is great, and you listen to yourself and you know you're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Don't let that be a thing that's like, I'm going to stop. Just let that be a thing of like, I know I still have steps to do. Mm-hmm. And then as long as you are kind of always in that state of never thinking you're the best at something and never thinking that like there isn't a more to learn, that's where you like hit this really cool spot of like, you know, trial and error, failure, success, that builds a really cool person, human mm-hmm. being. I mean, I'm taking this even outside of music. Mm-hmm. Like there's people with like goals like, yo, I can't run a mile. Start running a mile. And it's like, yo, I should do a 5K. And like those, and then you can
produces though.
Yeah. And then it creates something where you have goals and it keeps you driven and you can acknowledge where you're lacking and then know you're going to get better at them because you did it before and you're just gonna keep doing that.
That's so real. I knew you had like a very intentional vision.
Appreciate it.
But I needed to know like the expanded awareness that you have grown to have with now developing yourself, but also developing like a team essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, like it, even though you may not ever look at yourself as like eyes in the branches, you know, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like the leader, but it's like you really are a grounding foundation, you know, and I like always really wanted to let you know like how you appreciate it, how you're honored for who you are. Mm-hmm. And if it takes for me to do it on the radio, then to make sure that you receive these flowers,
well, listen,
then I will.
I appreciate you, brother. And I think you kind of know that in being in Branch, like you see how everyone has different roles of how they like really bolster everyone else up and like has that certain thing. Like I think I told you before how like you coming to the music jams that we started prior to you joining the group mm-hmm. was just like, yo, Sheen comes in a room and like everything just feels better. And like, oh, what if he was in our group? So that way everything in our group just felt better. You know what I mean? And like, you know, and then there's things like, you know, Joy will take time to go sit with people when they're having bad days and like mm-hmm. just talk with them in a way that like I necessarily not always am like the most fitted to do, because sometimes I'm like just like tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. But like there's that balance of like different people having different things. Like I even know when Devin Reed used to go to Berkeley and Boston, mm-hmm. like the group was different when we didn't have Dev, because Dev fills a role of just like having that like music geek that's passionate about, like his level of passion about how music is constructed and how he perceives it and his philosophies on it, like they lead to really great discussions. Sometimes arguments that are like, I'll call them constructive arguments.
Yeah, they pivotal.
Yeah, for like the growth. But like I remember for like the few years where like he was in Boston, and I was like, we need like more music, like nerd passion back. And I'm like, when he would come back for like seasonal players, just like it felt like, you know, we're missing pieces of our puzzle, and like having that back like changes the dynamic and like bolsters everything again, to where it's like, oh, like now Doc, Dev, and Keon and Ty are all having this really nerdy music conversation about the way to keep the groove a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it like you see that collaboration, you see the initial idea of four different people and how they perceive it, and then them finding that centerpiece of like, oh, we all agree on this, and then you make
Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried to tell that man, specifically Devin, I was like, he tried to act like when he left that it was nothing. Like,
nah, bro, like, no.
Oh, that didn't affect anything. No, I'm like, bro. Yes, we
maybe
felt
I,
it.
Maybe I should tell him that more to his face, but, like,
nah. I mean, we have it right now.
Yeah, I'll send it to him.
I'm make sure he's going to hear this. Because I told him this, and he was like, no, I didn't do anything. It's not, you know, you didn't need me. It's still going to go. The jam's still going to go on. I'm like, yeah, the jam's still going to go on, but does it feel the same?
It's different.
It's going to be different.
It's different. And, like, even in a sense of, like, you know, when we have all of Branch on stage, and it's not super common just because of the nature of people's schedules, and that we built it to be large enough to where, you know, we can work it with different rotations, kind of like a baseball team or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's also the big thing that's, like, one of my, again, present and then, like, the future present. Like, my big motivator is, like, I'm looking at things like, I need to get us enough budget to where we can all afford to be here and make money from this. And, like, we can all be together way more often than we're not. Mm. And, like, that's some of those end game goals where it's, like, once I'm, like, yo, Branch, here's the amount of money we're going to make so that we can all kind of, like, work together in the same house, same, like, general spaces, like, for a very consistent amount of time. And then also, like, you know, pulling people out of their job is just a real cool thing. Like, that's like, top one with me is, like, okay, let's get everyone home, house, like, in the sense of, like, own house, mm-hmm. which I know is like a big issue for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, own house, and then, like, I exclusively make my income from my creative pursuits that I want to do. Mm. That for me is like, that's like the first star to, like, then, you know, the 2045 goals of, like, legendary status and all that.
Multi-dimensional lifestyle.
Right? Yeah, man.
I'm glad you have the end game in the forefront just as much as.
What's in each front step, of
yeah, mm-hmm. that's in front of you. Like, you really know how to pack the "I Love You" 3000 and just snap everything right into place. You know.
Hopefully, I can survive.
I know, you know. Hopefully, you definitely. Oh no, you definitely going to survive. Then that's crazy. Yeah, they got that going in there. That's hilarious. Yo, well, this has been a time. So yeah, I think one of my main key takeaways from what you said is. Acknowledging the differences between being meticulous and a perfectionist. Mm. A perfectionist is someone who's trying to get flawlessness, and they have this, like, self-critique that can sometimes break them down. But being meticulous, you're looking for quality. You're looking for excellence and how you can be able to bridge the gap but also be focused on the things that are really bringing you to the goal. Because if you're trying to attempt to get flawlessness, it's going to make everything way more difficult upon what we're cultivating. And I think we really have a way of having our meticulousness in the forefront. I actually have to tell this to Dev, like, for real, because he definitely is very meticulous when it comes to, like, the excellence that he sees something, how he hears things.
How he hears it is
how he hear it and how he feel it. And it's like, I could see why you want that specific type of, like, excellence within it. But once we get into, like, the perfectionism, it starts to cloud our judgment and cloud our viewpoints, you know. So I'm just grateful to be able to receive those key takeaways so that we're able to know, like, the journey itself is going to have its own flaws. It's going to have its things in between. It's going to have ebbs and flows. But as long as you're aligning with your intentions, your integrity, and knowing where your heart space is, that's really how you can get to your goal. And also leading yourself with the passion of what you want to pursue can allow you to be in the collaborative aspects of kindred spirits and community and just love. You know, love will always meet you where you are. So, yeah, that's really my key takeaways of today.
All right.
I appreciate you for sharing this time.
And I appreciate you for having me a guest on here.
Where can they find you at?
Definitely, I always direct people to the BAM page because that's just the best way to kind of get in contact with us, and it's at Branch Station Band. So it's Branch as in tree branch, station like a train station, and then band because we're a band. And, like, you know, just hit us up, be like, hey, we like your music, come out to some jams. When we have jams, we're gonna have some shows coming up soon. Currently we have the With Everything Going On project coming out. December 10th is a tentative release date, and then we have December 13th, we're gonna have a release show, which will be an open jam, meaning that, you know, any audience member who's a musician is welcome to come and play during the jam. And then we're going to have a feature performance with myself and also Sheen Anthony and all of Branch Station, or most of Branch Station. We may have someone coming back from Florida. I'm hoping we're able to time that. Lee, we love you. My God. So, yeah, definitely come out to that. December 10th, album's out. December 13th, show. It's at 2nd Street Music, one of the homes of Branch Station, 1954 North 2nd Street. The show's probably going to be at 7 o'clock, and we'll probably have some art displays and stuff, too. Food, bunch of stuff. Let's go.
Sheen Anthony Show.